You can take out your Bibles, or actually the handout has all the verses, I believe, written out on it. We're in Psalm 119, and we're going to talk about one of the themes of Psalm 119, which is affliction. And actually, when I was studying this week, it was very interesting, and at times I could feel the sermon series coming on. So probably in the future, maybe even in the near future, I'll explore some of these themes of affliction in Scripture a little bit more. So maybe we can consider this like an introductory sermon to a future sermon series at some point. But for tonight, we'll just look in Psalm 119 mostly. So again, Psalm 119, if you've read it before, I think most or maybe all of you have read parts of Psalm 119. You know, it's full of different themes and topics, but the main topic is the Word of God. And so what we're going to do is I'm not going to read every single verse. There's seven of them tonight. I'm not going to do everyone now, but I will do everyone in the sermon. But for now, I want to read 50, 67, and 71. So Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. And then go to 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And then go to 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. And then lastly, 75. I know, Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. This is God's word. I always liked that Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where they're camping. Do you remember that, when they're camping and it's raining cats and dogs? And Calvin is in the tent with his very grumpy face, and his dad's smiling and having the time of his life, and his dad wants to go out fishing. Calvin and his mom want to go home, and Calvin's dad says, let's go out fishing, let's go out. Calvin grumbles, and remember what his dad says? It builds character. It builds character. I remember my dad saying some similar things like that, and that is, there is humor in that, but there's also truth there, isn't it? Oftentimes, when we do difficult things, it builds us up in some way. For example, if you need to get some exercise and you go for a long walk, even if you don't really like to do it, it's good for you. It builds you up. Or maybe you need to go to the hospital or nursing home and visit somebody that's going to be a hard visit, and you don't really want to do it, but you go, and it ends up being a blessing, a good thing for you. And the list goes on. There's so many hard things that we do in life that are actually good for us. It builds character. And through these hard things, we gain a maturity that we didn't have before. We gain maturity that we didn't have before. And so we as Christians, we know right off the bat that we're going to face troubles. Carry your cross, take up your cross and follow me. There's some pain there. And remember what Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. So as we think about affliction and sorrow and suffering, our goal is to learn what the Bible says about it and therefore mature from it as Christians. Not to let suffering and affliction and trials overtake us, but to grow from them. Let them build character. Let them give us a maturity that we didn't have in the faith before. So we're going to talk about the theme of affliction from Psalm 119. And very interestingly, the word affliction appears seven times in Psalm 119. In the verb and the noun form. And so that's what we're going to talk about first, the meaning of affliction, and then the source of affliction, where does it come from, and then the purposes of affliction, why, and then finally the pathway through affliction. How do we as Christians make it through affliction? So those are the things that we're going to learn right from Psalm 119, those various verses. So first of all, though, the meaning of affliction. I think most of us could probably define that word. And like I said, it's used seven times here in Psalm 119 and a lot of places in the other Old Testament books. So the Old Testament word means to be in a wretched state, to be humbled or brought low, to suffer or face trials. Again, if I would ask you what affliction means, you could probably define it and even give me some examples of affliction. So for us, sometimes affliction comes from other people. Maybe somebody makes fun of us. Maybe somebody lies to us. Maybe somebody abuses us. And that's a source of affliction. We know affliction comes from that. And we know, too, that sometimes affliction is because of our own sin. We have to face the consequences. We're afflicted sometimes when we make a foolish, sinful choice and we have to face the ramifications of it. There's affliction that way. And sometimes we're afflicted just generally without any real, we don't know the reason why. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we get depressed. Sometimes we're in terrible pain, or there's, you know, natural disasters like tornado. Those things bring affliction, right? So these are all different things that give us affliction. And we know what affliction means. Now, in Scripture, too, there are various places of affliction as well, or things that give affliction. So it's kind of the same as in our lives. In Psalm 119, for example, if you read through it, enemies will give the psalmist affliction. Other people do it. And in Psalm 119 and other Old Testament verses, affliction comes from sin and consequences of sin. Psalm 107 says, because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. And finally, in the Old Testament and in the Bible, there's just affliction in general, where people don't know why. Like Job 20 says, he says, the days of affliction took hold of me. So again, we know what affliction means. We've suffered affliction from other people. We've suffered affliction for the consequences of our own sin. And sometimes we suffer affliction for reasons we're not sure of. So even though the psalm is very old, maybe, you know, whatever, 1000 BC, it was probably written around there. Even though it's very old, we get what affliction means. There's similarity here. But what about the source of affliction? Well, let's read verse 75 again, especially the last half. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So there are what we might call proximate or secondary reasons for affliction, like we said, other people, our own sin, or just we're not sure why. But the ultimate reason for affliction is, well, who's it from? God. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me. That's God the psalmist is talking about. In faithfulness. Now, faithfulness, of course, is a character, an attribute of God. You know what God's faithfulness means, right? He can trust him. He keeps his promises. He never lies. He tells the truth and acts according to the truth. He's faithful. So a source of affliction, then, is God in his faithfulness. And it's not that God... So the psalmist isn't saying, God is faithful, but he afflicted me. That's not what it says, is it? It's in faithfulness, God has afflicted me. Now, I don't know about you, but usually when I face trials and affliction, my first thought is not, here's a sign of God's faithfulness. We don't always think that way, do we? When we suffer, we don't think, hey, here's God is faithful. But that's what the psalmist is saying. What does he mean? Well, look at the first part of verse 75. Lord, I know that your rules are righteous. You do what's just and right. So when God brings affliction our way, or when he allows afflictions to come upon us, we trust that he's not making a mistake. But he's acting in faithfulness. It's not unjust, first of all, is it? When we suffer an affliction, whether it's a small trial or a big affliction, we can't say, I didn't deserve this. Because all of us deserve to be in far worse of situations than we are in because of our sin. So we can never say that we don't deserve affliction because we are sinful people. And also, more positively speaking, as we're going to see, and as you probably know from experience in Scripture, the Lord has his good reasons and purposes for affliction. So when you see the big picture of affliction and trials in the Christian life, that's when you begin to see, oh, it is true that God in his faithfulness gave me this affliction. We don't always know why affliction comes our way, but we trust that when it does, God is being faithful. And Job trusted God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. There's a different translation of the Bible called the NET version. And the last half of verse 75, it's like this. You disciplined me because of your faithful devotion to me. You disciplined me because of your faithful devotion to me. So if we think of affliction, now, you know, we all have gone through different afflictions and trials. Think of your affliction and trial. If you think of it according to your own reasoning and your own judgment and your own feelings, you're going to get all mixed up. You're going to think this is evil, this is bad. You're going to think of yourselves as victims. You're going to blame other people. You're going to feel sorry for yourself and go into a downward spiral if you think of trials from your own human reasoning and feelings and emotions. But if you think of affliction according to God's character and according to His Word, then you see as a child of God that trial and affliction are part of God's faithful plan for us. That He, in faithfulness, God afflicts us. And so that's in that hymn. It's, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. God is like a caring surgeon, and sometimes when He sends affliction, it's like He's operating on us, you know, kind of hurting us a little bit, but to help us and to heal us and to give us medicine. He's the great physician. Or sometimes afflictions are proof that God is a loving Father. When we suffer afflictions for our own sin, we remember Hebrews 12, the Lord disciplines the one He loves. So sometimes when we suffer consequences of our own sin, it's an affliction of discipline, but it's a sign of God's love. If He didn't love you, He would let you go off in your sin. But sometimes God sends afflictions to discipline us as a sign of love. So that's the source of affliction. Psalm 70, or 119, verse 75 says, in faithfulness you have afflicted me. It's God. But what about the purposes of affliction? Well, we read verses 71 and 67 in a moment again. But the Bible does teach that there is a purpose for suffering in God's people's lives. One of the main things we have to remember as Christians is that when suffering comes our way, it's not empty or meaningless. It's not just random chaos happening. But there's meaning and purpose in affliction for God's people. And we'll get to this later, but the deepest truth of suffering and affliction is that the suffering and affliction of Jesus means salvation for sinners. There was purpose and meaning in Christ's suffering and affliction. Salvation for those who believe. And so it is for His people. Not that our affliction brings salvation to others, but there's also meaning and purpose in our affliction. God will always have a purpose for us through our suffering. Even when others afflict us, even when it's from our own sin, even when we don't know why. So we have to remember, and this is from Romans 5, that suffering in God's hands is productive. It's productive. Suffering produces endurance and character and hope. It produces things in us. It builds character. And that's why the Puritans could talk about the blessed fruit of affliction. If you've gone through affliction, you know that sometimes, quite often, afflictions strengthen your prayer life. That trials weaken your attachment to the world, and so on. But let's look at two from Psalm 119. First, verse 71 again. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Why was it good to be afflicted? So that you might learn God's word, His law. Affliction, this trial, whatever the psalmist was facing, whether it was pain, or whether it was enemies, or whether it was some random, you know, natural disaster, the psalmist said this affliction drove him to God's word. It drove him to the statutes and truth of God. And you know what happens in suffering is when we suffer and then we read certain verses of Scripture, those Scripture verses come to life like never before. Because then you learn what it means to be helped by God. If you don't need any help from God through an affliction, you don't really know what that Scripture means. But once you need help from God, you go to the Scripture and it says, I will help you. Those promises come alive. And it's kind of like an umbrella in the rain. If you're out in the rain and you need an umbrella, then that's when it becomes valuable to you. So God's promises are like the umbrella that becomes valuable to us when the rain of affliction comes. We learn those things when affliction comes. So for one example, Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You learn what that means when you pass through the waters of affliction. I will be with you. And a lot of what Scripture says about God, how He answers prayer, how He supports His people and gives them strength and gives them joy. A lot of what the Bible says about God, we learn from experience through suffering and trial. Your experience confirms the truth of the word. God did support me through that difficult time, and I learned what it means to be supported. So the trial brings us to the word. And that's why Martin Luther said, "I never knew the meaning of God's word until I came into affliction. I always found it one of my best schoolmasters." So that's why the psalmist said, look, his affliction wasn't evil, but what was it? It was good. It was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Now look at verse 67. Here's another purpose. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." So he's looking back in his life, and he thinks to the time before the suffering and trial came, he was going astray, which means sinning. He was going astray from God. And then God brought affliction into his life, and now he's following God's word. He's reflecting on his life. That's the logic here. So again, in God's faithfulness and his sovereignty, he used that affliction in the psalmist's life to bring him back to the right way, to walk in the law of the Lord, like we talked about earlier. So sometimes affliction can show us sin that we didn't know we had, and it leads us to better repentance. Sometimes when we have a trial come our way, for example, it shows how impatient we actually are, and then we can better repent of impatience or anger or something. Or for another example, like J.I. Packer said, afflictions overwhelm us with a sense of our own inadequacy and drive us to cling to him more closely. That's what happens when trials come. We see how weak and helpless we are as humans and frail, and it drives us to the strength of God. And afflictions lead us to pray like God's word says. And affliction gives us sympathy for others like the word tells us to have. So before the psalmist had affliction, he was going astray, but then God brought affliction into his life, and then he came back to following the way of God. God taught him obedience through his affliction. And so it's a blessed mystery that affliction and trials are not God's wrathful punishment for sin, but part of his loving remedy for it. When you have affliction, especially when we think about it in light of that psalm that we just read, Psalm 67, when we have affliction, it's not God's wrathful punishment for sin, but it's part of his loving remedy for it. It helps us fight sin, helps us repent better, and lean on God's grace. So during our suffering and affliction, a lot of times it's very difficult to look on the bright side. During trials, you have dark days, dark weeks sometimes, and it doesn't seem like there's any brightness. It seems like everything is dark. There's tears. But the Bible truth is that good will come out of it for God's people. That good will come out of it for God's people. There's purposes in it. They lead us to God's word. They get us back on the path of the Christian faith. And so, you know, if we are suffering right now, we have to remember that. And even if you're not suffering, you have to remember that, because you will suffer in the future. And you have to remember that right off the bat, that good will come out of this in God's providence and his sovereignty. And that's why John Newton said this: "Afflictions, though not in themselves joyous but grievous, yet when sanctified, they are among our choice mercies." Afflictions are among our choice mercies because of what God can do to us through them for our spiritual life. And again, that hymn that I quoted earlier: "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head." So remember that when we go through afflictions and trials, like the psalmist said, "It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." There's purposes for our suffering. God does things to us in a good way through our suffering. Now, speaking of suffering, there's a way through affliction. How do we make it through affliction as God's people? Well, I kind of already gave a hint that we think of it from a big picture term, that God will work it out for our good in his sovereign providence. But there's specific ways through affliction that the psalm talks about. First of all, verse 92. I'll read that one. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. See that word again? So he says there in verse 92 that the law, the word of God, was like a life preserver for him in his trial. The law of God, the word of God, was a shelter for him during the affliction he was facing. And the word was a light to lead him on the right path through the affliction. So if affliction is a dark, gray storm cloud in our life, the word is a bright light that gets us through and shows us how to get through it. That's what the psalmist is saying. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. So he wasn't an antinomian. You know, an antinomian says we don't need God's law because he delighted in God's law. An antinomian would never say he delights in God's law. An antinomian says the law is a dead letter. We don't need it. It's a good thing the psalmist wasn't an antinomian or he would have perished in the way. But the law was his delight. But he also wasn't a legalist. Because a legalist would not say, I delight in the law of God. To the legalist, the law is a dry list of demands from a strict master. That you have to do this or God is mad at you. But the psalmist, he was not an antinomian, not a legalist, but he was a child of God who knew God to be faithful and loving. And he saw God's law as a good thing from a gracious God. The law of God was a good thing from a gracious God. So he delighted in it. I delighted in your law during the affliction, and if I hadn't done that, I would have perished. That's what he was saying. So we think about this. We can never separate God's law from God. We know the characteristic of God. We already talked about his faithfulness. We know that God is faithful to us, that he'll bring us through, and out of his goodness and kindness, he gives us his law. It does show us our sin, we learned about. But the law is also a guide for the Christian life to show God gratitude. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. So this law of God led him through the trial and affliction. That's what he's saying. And that's why he delighted in it. He did delight in it. It led him through. So think about it this way. When we face trials, let's just say somebody has a terrible backache and it's miserable. I know those things are terrible and it's chronic pain. A trial like that can be a cause or an occasion, it can be an occasion for sin and temptation. If you have a bad back problem, you're maybe tempted to grumble and complain and get angry easy. But then the law comes and guides us and says, no, don't grumble. Be content. The law comes and says, you know, here's what God wants you to do. And so even in that affliction, then, it can keep us from sin. And if you know what going through an affliction is like, sinning through an affliction is even worse. It adds misery to misery. So when we're in affliction, we need the light of God's law to keep us from sinning. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. We can never use affliction or pain and trials as an excuse to sin or an excuse for our sin. As Christians, we want to please God through our trial. When we delight in God's law, it helps us that way. So we make it through affliction with God's word, with his law. Here's a good reminder for us when we suffer affliction. Keep the word open. Read the word a lot. That's what the psalmist says. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. So we make it through with God's word. Now look at Psalm 119, verse 107. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. And then 153. It's also about prayer, which I'll mention. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. So in these two verses, 107 and verse 153, he's talking about prayer. He is praying. So that's another way to make it through affliction, is not just with God's word, but with prayer. He's praying. I'm severely afflicted, verse 107 says. Give me life, quicken me, is the old English. Quicken me according to your word. He's near death for some reason, and he's praying for life. He's praying the promises of God. Give me life, O Lord, help me. You've promised to be near me. Please do that. And so once again, he knows that he can cry out to God in his suffering. He's at the, you know, he's near death, and he knows God to be faithful and loving, and he knows from history that God helps his people when they cry out, way back from Exodus, remember? It says in Exodus 3, God says, I've seen the affliction of my people, I've heard their cry, I know their sufferings. So the psalmist prays in his affliction. He cries out to God. And in Psalm 119, verse 153, which we just read, it's the same thing. Look on me in my affliction, he says. Deliver me. When we are in affliction, we should ask our friends and family for help. That's good to do. But ultimately, we remember that our deliverance is from God. He's the one who can get us out of affliction, either now or in the life to come. Deliver me, Lord, if it is your will. As I walk in your word, notice me and help me. So we make it through affliction with a word and with prayer. The psalmist is praying in his affliction. All right, the last one then, the way through affliction is with comfort. And this is from verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. There's comfort in affliction. So he goes through affliction with comfort. A non-Christian could never say that. If you're not a believer and you go through affliction, trials, grief, heartbreaking, loss, whatever, you can't say that you have any comfort. You got nothing. But if you're a child of God, you can say, I'm going through comfort or through this affliction with comfort. Your word gives me life. Your promise gives me life. And so when we think about it, every one promise of God, every single promise of God during affliction is greater than anything else at that time. Because sometimes in affliction, everything is ripped out from under your feet and you got nowhere to stand. But then you have the promise and you can stand on the promise. You can't stand on, you know, maybe your friend's promises all the time because they sometimes wander or waffle and waver. You can't stand on other people's promises, but you can stand on God's promises when the rug gets pulled from under your feet. So think about some of the promises. Through your affliction, Isaiah 43 says, I'm with you in it. Or Hebrews 12, I love you through it. Or 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you. Or Romans 8, I'll work it for your good. Or Isaiah 25 says, it won't last forever. I'll wipe away your tears. So you see that we go through affliction with the comfort of God's promises. We have so many different promises to make it through affliction with. And it's a life-giving promise, the psalmist said. Your word gives life. Isaiah 49, the Lord will have compassion on his afflicted. That's a life-giving promise. So remember that when you're in a trial, an affliction, when you're suffering pain or hurt or loss, each promise of God to us is like a refuge in a storm. It's like a staff to lean on. It's a refreshing drink of water. It's food for our hungry and weary souls. From the promises of God, we get comfort like a bee gets honey from a flower. So those are just some kind of an introduction on affliction, what Psalm 119 says about affliction. The meaning of affliction we know is like to be humbled and brought low. The source of affliction is God and his faithfulness. The purposes of affliction are, it's good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your statutes and keep your word. And the way through affliction is with God's word, with prayer, and with comfort. But what about the gospel? I did hint at Christ's suffering, but what about the gospel? Well, if you do a word study in the Hebrew here, the word for affliction that has been used seven times in Psalm 119, it's also used in Isaiah 53. Remember what Isaiah 53 is about? The suffering servant. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken by God and afflicted. Same Hebrew word. And in verse 7 of Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. So when we think about affliction, especially as Christians, we know that we face affliction, but when we face affliction, we right away think of Jesus' affliction. Why was Jesus afflicted in suffering and dying on the cross? For our sin, for my sin, for yours. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted to save us from being punished and facing God's wrath like that on the cross. So when we suffer affliction, It's not God cursing us for our sin. When we suffer trials, it's not God being mad at us. But it's a loving medicine when it comes from God. When we are saved by Christ, his affliction is the payment for our sin. So when we're afflicted, it's God as a father working it for our good. So think of it like this. Jesus saved us by his affliction, and like Hebrews 4 says, he sympathizes with us in our affliction. So if you're being afflicted, if you're suffering a trial, no matter how difficult and hard it is, you have a Savior who knows exactly what you're facing. Because he suffered affliction like we did. You can go to Jesus for sympathy. He sympathizes with us in ours. So whatever pain and hurt and heartache and trials you go through, remember this, that God will use it ultimately for your good. You can trust his faithfulness. And remember that Jesus knows what it's like. So by God's grace, we can say with the psalmist, it is good for me that I was afflicted. Let's pray. Father in heaven, affliction is hard.